Shall we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Some of these scriptures are well known. That's why we like to go over them. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's the Lord Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions or abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I believe he prepared that place on the cross when he died for you and me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to him, to the Father, except through him. Let's turn now to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or go before. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We are living in a time where the Christian has a desire to be with the Lord because of the situation in this world that we're living in. I remember when I was a boy, there were saints who were saying, the Lord is coming soon. I think he'll come before I pass. Well, he still hasn't come yet. And there's still time for believers to work. I know in our families there are still those who haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to continue to pray to the Lord for their salvation. And also to act properly so that they may see in us something that they would like to have, which is really the Lord Jesus Christ. But the time will come when the Lord is going to take us to be with himself. And we don't know when. The Lord said to his disciples, we don't know the time when the Father has required that he should come. But he may come very soon. And I was thinking, if he would come today, a marvelous thing would happen. All of a sudden, this room would be empty. According to this chapter that we read, this room would be empty, this building would be unoccupied, anybody could take it. However, there could be one person left here. If you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be here. All of a sudden, everybody will be gone. Myself, I hope, because I believe. The Lord knows who are His. I don't. I profess salvation. But the Lord knows the heart, whether there's real faith. And it is my hope that everyone here will go with the Lord. Now, when the Lord Jesus spoke to His disciples in the Gospel of John chapter 14, He hadn't gone to the cross. And the disciples were very sad that He said, I'm going to leave you. But then He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And in order to prepare a place for His disciples, they were sinners. He had to do something first. He had to go to the cross and take upon Himself the sin of the world and all those who believe in Him, so that they might have everlasting life and none should come into condemnation. So the disciples were not exactly aware of what was going on, because they were Jewish people who were waiting for the Messiah and to set up the kingdom of Israel, with Jesus the King, the Messiah as the King of Kings. So they didn't understand exactly what was happening. When the Lord Jesus told them that He was going to die and suffer, they didn't understand. They sort of shook themselves away from that thought. That was not what they thought was going to happen. They thought the Lord was going to establish Israel as a nation, and He was going to establish the kingdom. The Lord Jesus came at a time when the rulers were not ready to accept Him at all. They would put Him on the cross. And today there are many people who don't want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Same thing as at that time. And things are going to get worse, because the Word has been preached time and time again, and it has been refused by many people. The Lord knows the heart. See, the Lord can harden the hearts like He did Pharaoh, so that they can't believe anymore. So if you refuse the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior again and again, the time will come when God will harden your heart, you can't accept Him anymore. But I say today is the day of salvation. You can still repent of your sins and give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins. Now, for the believer who has put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, as his sin bearer, and as his Redeemer, we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. This is the hope of the believer. And the Bible calls it a sure hope. It's a hope that will come into existence. The Lord Himself will come. And notice in this chapter, it says, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There are many believers who I knew when I was a young boy, and you probably know them too, that have gone up to be with the Lord. And they're waiting. So when the Lord comes again, those who have died will rise first. And then we who are alive will also be changed. This body cannot inherit heaven. It's the body of sin, and that needs to be left. But the spirit and the soul, which God has redeemed and made ready for heaven, is going to have a new body. God says so, I believe it. And we shall, together with those who have died, meet the Lord in the air. Meet the Lord? Meet Him? I haven't seen Him. You haven't seen Him. We have heard about Him. We have believed in Him by faith, which is from God. He has given us faith to believe. We shall see Him who died for us. What a prospect. No time for me to think of myself. I shall see Him. What a wonderful thing. Now, let us turn to the first epistle of John. Well-known scripture, but first epistle of John, chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. I have no idea of the body that I am going to receive. I have no idea. I couldn't, in this human brain, and I couldn't conceive of it. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. What we don't know now, we shall see then. What a wonderful prospect. So if the Lord should come this afternoon, we shall together be with Him in the air. And we shall see Him as He is. In Acts chapter 1, we have a scene of the Lord returning into heaven. And I'd like to read some of it. In Acts chapter 1, the disciples were on the Mount of Olives with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said to them, in verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." Here were the disciples and the people that were with them, about 150 or so. They were seeing the Lord Jesus going into heaven. But they were all people of Israel. They had expected the Lord to set up the kingdom. But the Lord had given them certain instructions. Stay here until the Holy Spirit would come upon you, because something new was being made. The bride of Christ was to be formed, the church, the called out ones, the ones who Christ had redeemed, a special unit was going to be formed. They didn't understand that. So they were on the Mount of Olives, seeing the Lord go into glory. But the angels were sent by the Lord because he understood that they didn't understand these things yet. And when the Holy Spirit came down, the bride of Christ was born, the church as it's called, the called out ones. And the gospel was beginning to be preached. Peter was the first one who preached the gospel at Pentecost, and it took about a minute and a half his speech, and 3,000 men were saved. Later on, he spoke again, and a great number of people got saved. That's how it was when the Holy Spirit was in full power using these men and women too. They also sang, and when the Spirit came, they spoke things. The power of God was evident. Today, things are different. It is very difficult to bring the gospel in some nations. People are suffering and dying in China and other places if they try to bring the gospel. But we here, in this country, we have the same thing to do as any Christian all over the world. Wait for the Lord Jesus to come. However, there are things that need to be done before he comes. That is, that we continue to be a testimony that we who are saved are concerned about the welfare of those who are not saved, especially in our families, but also in our neighborhoods and in the places where we work. Because when the Lord comes, this time will be over. The Lord will begin dealing with the people of Israel, the remnant. God, all over the Old Testament, says that he is going to form that earthly people, which will be evident when he comes back the second time. See, the Lord is going to come for his church. You've seen that in this chapter, Thessalonians chapter 4. But he's also come on the Mount of Olives, when every eye shall see him, especially the people, the remnant of Israel, which will then accept him as their Lord. Why? Because the Lord said so. The promise to Abraham is going to be fulfilled. All God's promises are fulfilled. And they are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this one who has died on the cross for me and for you is coming again. What do you think about that? He whom we have spoken about, have exchanged views about, sometimes have had trouble with each other, he's going to come. And we're going to receive a new body without sin and be forever with the Lord. No wonder that in Revelation 5, when in heaven the Lamb was seen as it had been freshly slain, the Apostle John wept, because no man was found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. But when he saw the Lamb, the Lord Jesus prevailed to open the book, to loose the seals thereof. But that's a time of judgment. That's a time where the people of Israel, the remnant, which will then have eyes opened. You see, when the Lord comes from His church, those who believe in the Lord as the Savior, they're going to be gone. And I'm sure that certain things will happen in this earth. If you're flying in the air, as many Christians do today, and the Lord comes, all of a sudden your seat will be empty in the twinkling of an eye. And there may be accidents on the road. Nobody knows why. Because the people will be gone. There'll be no bodies to take care of. I don't know how it's going to be. That's in the power of God. But there is a thought in my mind that we need to pray earnestly for those in our families who are not saved. They will not go. But thank God that the time of grace is still there. And we need to redeem this time and use it. Now, isn't it a wonderful thing that in 1 John 3, let's go back to that. A couple of thoughts on it. First of all, the type or manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. The type of love, or the quality of love, that we should be children, sinners, and not children. What a wonderful thing. Children we hold dear when they're born and young. We love little children. And this is the kind of love the Father has for us. We are His children. Dear. We have been bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That in itself should make us feel His dearness. And this should be with us as we go about doing our work, whatever that we have to do. Therefore, the world does not know us. They don't know this. This happiness and this joy that we have, which the Spirit of God kindles in our hearts, the world does not know. We can't expect them to happen. We can only pray to the Lord that the word of truth might be made precious to those who are not saved. And it has not been revealed what we shall be. We can't conceive if we have a new body. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall see Him as He is. We know that the Lord Jesus loves us. But when a member of the family has gone away for years, let's say, and we know he's coming back, or she is coming back, we're looking at the airport or wherever we first see them. What does he look like? Well, we've never seen the Lord Jesus. We've never seen it with the eye. But He has been revealed to us by the Spirit of God. What a wonderful thing that this can happen. That human beings, the way we are, sinners, before we believed we were sinners that were ready for judgment. And now we are children of God. We shall see Him. What a wonderful thought. We need to dwell more on this. We shall see him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, this third verse. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Beloved, this is what we do while we're waiting. The Spirit of God is busy helping us purify ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. The Spirit must do it. Therefore, when we come together as believers, we are going to try to act the way believers should act. We should love each other and be concerned for each other. And if we have problems, we consult each other, we help each other. What a wonderful thing has happened when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. We're not alone anymore. If we're orphan, we're not alone. If we have lost loved ones, we're still not alone. We have the Lord Jesus, who's with us all the time. And he's going to be with us until he comes for us. Then we shall see him as he is. I can't dwell further on that. The mind cannot do so. But we know in whom we have believed. God has made each one of us aware of this, each in a different way. That's why when we come together and speak about the Word or exchange views of the Word, the Spirit of God can give each one of us a little bit different thought or idea. And together, it forms a better picture of the Lord Jesus. But one thing we do know, that every Sunday we come together to remember him. Why? For me, because he said so. The Lord of glory, the one who died on the cross, said, remember me. Remember me. I am like most people. I remember myself when I come to the worship meeting, when I come to the remembrance meeting. I remember myself of what the Lord has done for me. Wonderful. There's something greater. To remember the Lord, he is the one who died for me. He is the one in glory, my high priest, on whom I can call all my troubles. He has sympathy for me because he was in the sea. He saw how people were in the sea. He sat at the well in Sychar when this woman came there, and he said, give me something to drink. She was not worthy that the Lord would come there. But that's why he came to the sea, to save those who were lost. And he sat at the well. And because this woman accepted him as her Savior, the whole city eventually became saved. And they wanted to see Jesus also. They wanted to see him. And they said to her, now we believe because we have seen him, not because of your word, but because we have seen him. And the whole city believed him. And that is the reason we're all saved. Because the word of God has come somehow to us, maybe through a member of another assembly or a group of Christians, maybe through your parents or grandparents. It's grace that has been brought to each one of us. And we can thank the Lord for this grace. But we have a hope. that the one who died for us, who suffered, was put into the ground for 3 days and then rose again. Marvelous thing. He's coming for us, and we all shall be changed. Those who are alive shall be changed. No more this body, which is frail, and it gets frailer as I get older, but it's going to be changed like his own body. So it is such a wonderful thing that in this day where things are being shook up all over the world, that we have the hope of the coming of the Lord. That's why that one song that was sung in the morning, the first song, was so wonderful. Because it was on my mind to bring this thought, and I knew right away that that was what I needed to do. So I have a suggestion that I'm just about completed, that let's look to the Lord and then we'll sing another song. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you went to the cross to die for us, and that you were buried, and then on the third day you rose again. You ascended into glory, and you are coming again. We believe you. We believe your word, and we ask you to be with us, that while you tarry, that we might be found doing what is right. We ask this grace in your name. Amen.